Welcome to church this morning. What a beautiful day it is. The sun's out. I said that we've had kind of a dreary winter with, I don't like it when there's no sun. I know that you guys all love the warm weather, but a lot of those warmer days have been dreary. And when the sun's not out, it really does something to your mind. It does to me. It makes my day better. Even at work, it makes the day go by faster when it's sunny out. And today's a beautiful day. I know you guys don't like the cold. It was minus 10 this morning, but there's no wind. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's still okay. I know it's the winter. Shh, back there. I know. We are still in February. Anyway, I love it, and you guys know that I do, so I love the sun. You know, as we walk this road of life, we come to find out very quickly that things of this world, people in this world, circumstances in this world are not always dependable. They fail us, right? Now, there's a lot of good things, a lot of good friends, and a lot of good experiences, but there's also a lot of times where that we just find that things let us down. And in our humanness, we let people down, and our friends let us down, right? But there's one person that never lets us down, right? God is always with us. Now, in the midst of the darkness and the frustrating times, sometimes he's hard to see, but if you'll hold on, when your foes are many, when they're rising so high you can't see, if you'll hold on, he'll walk you through those, right? He's always there when other things are not, right? So you guys know this song. Let's sing it out.
I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. I
You know, this song we've been doing for a little while now, and it's one of our favorites. It's called Chainbreaker. You know, and if you're lost today, if you need some guidance, he's your way maker. He's a savior. If you need him to save you today, if you need him to break some chains, we have a prison-shaking savior, amen? If you're stuck going along the same old path, the same old road, doing the same old things, he wants to break that, right? And that's what our God is, and he can be that for you today. And sometimes our will holds us back from those things because we get comfortable. So anyway, if you need to hear that this morning, you guys know this. Let's sing out Chainbreaker. Sometimes what holds us back from getting rid of those things is our fear, right? We've talked about the last couple of weeks. I've done a couple of songs with that in it, that our fear gets comfortable. Even though that sounds weird, our fear of the unknown or what's going to happen or what's God going to take from me or what's God going to change in my life, that holds us back from what he has for us, right? That's kind of what this song is about, that my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. If I can just see you, God, in your love, then that fear should mean nothing, right? So we've done this one in a little while, but I'm sure some of you will remember it. I hope it's your desire as we prepare our hearts for communion that you'll sink deep into his love, that you'll draw close, stirred by his grace. All fear, again, there's a theme this morning. All fear removed, I breathe you in. I lean into your love. Just prepare your hearts and maybe you need to close your eyes and just focus on him as we prepare for communion and what that really means to us. This is called Sinking Deep. standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am won by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy seat.
How's everyone? Good? Everybody have a good week? Anybody have a crazy week? Anyone want to talk about how all the wheels came out? I met Tim actually midweek. This is kind of fun. And I was just getting gas, and he was getting gas, and I felt like, you know what, go over and say hi. So I went over and said hi, and he told me of the blessings despite the curse. He had some things go wrong that were technical and electrical and all this sort of stuff, and he was coming up with solutions, and he goes, wow, you know what, there's a lot of blessings despite the curse. And I left that conversation saying, isn't that true of every moment of our lives? Like, we just shared in communion, and guess what? He's already done enough, amen? That if you were to lose your very life today, it's okay, because he's already secured and your name is written in the Lamb's book. Amen? Pretty incredible. So it all comes down to perspective. Anyway, Tim, you encouraged me this week just by sharing that, and I was so glad that I said hi. Well, we've been talking about rediscovering the wonder of God. This idea of living in his holiness. And last week I asked a very pointed question, because I wanted us to get it into our heads, church, that would God ever ask us to strive for something that was unattainable? Of course not. Right? That would be cruel of him, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't withhold things from us. In fact, he blesses and blesses and blesses. His floodgates open over us, and he pours out all of his goodness. And we know that he has asked us to be holy as he is holy. Right? And I've been praying for disruptions in our lives. I have. Why? Because when Jesus disrupts, it always has a purpose, and it has this lasting, amazing effect on us. And I hope that you've been hungry for more of what God has waiting. Because he has so much waiting for us. Greater things than he did, he promises we will experience in the days in which we live. And to experience that kind of power, we need a new level of his presence in our lives. Amen? Again, I've said this before as we've worked through this series in the last 2 months, but you know those moments when God draws close, right? You've experienced those. It's kind of one of those incredible, monumentous moments. Like Lily talked about that, getting a song stuck in her head and wandering the fields, praising the Lord at the top of her lungs, right? Those moments when heaven feels near. You've experienced them, and maybe it's coming through a time of prayer where all of a sudden God reminds you of his vast, incredible love for you, and you're overwhelmed. Or maybe it's when a new worship song comes out, and it says what your heart has been trying to say for months, and you find yourself lost in that moment. And really, those moments, heaven is pushing down on you, and you go, ah, I could live here. Like, we've talked about that. Well, God is always faithful to answer when we cry out. Is that not true? Yes. Like, you and I have experienced that. But my question this morning is it possible to live in those moments? You know, I was thinking, we had some funerals this last week, and we didn't do this one because this is kind of more for believing and for those who have spent their life in the church. How many remember the hymn, In the Garden? I come to the garden alone. And they hold that. While the dew is still on the roses. So I was thinking of that hymn, and I was going, you know what? There's a song that the church knows really well. When I was a kid, Elias does this today, but he'll get the wrong words. Like, he used to sing, he's not here so I could say this, My Redeemer Lives. He used to sing, My Wiener Deemer Lives. My Wiener Deemer Lives. And he meant it, and I was going, son, what's a Wiener Deemer? And he goes, I don't know. I said, you know what that word is? And he goes, what? It's Redeemer. Jesus redeems us. And he goes, okay, without missing a beat, My Redeemer lives. Like, it was so cool. But with this song, when I was young, I always thought God's name was Andy. I know that's a joke. But that when you come to the course, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, I thought they were saying Andy. Andy walks with me. Hey, I share the same name as God. Like, that's pretty awesome. God, you better not call me Andy, or my mom will give you a mouthful, because that's what she did to my teacher, but I'll call you Andy, right? And I was singing of this song, but think about this. He walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And as I was preparing this message, I was saying, how many of us truly tarry there? How many live there? How many experience all of God's spiritual goodness while you walk on this earthly realm? Can you get up in the morning and truly tarry there all day with God? Like, imagine the joy that you would experience. Imagine the guidance that you would know. Imagine the confidence and the peace that would come. And, you know, this is kind of an interesting question. About 20 years ago, I was reading a book by Brother Lawrence. Right? That's his whole name, Brother Lawrence. He was a monk. Right? I don't know if we know his full name or not, but that's what they always refer to him as. And he wrote this book called Praying Continuously. I think that's what it was called. Or Pray Without Ceasing. And I read it, and I said, okay, so here was this guy who lived in a monastery, and the whole goal of this book was saying, can you get up and start your conversations with God and allow them to tarry? In other words, talk with God all day long. You talk with God all through the morning. You talk with God all through lunch. You talk with God all through the afternoon. You talk with God all through supper. You talk with God all day until sleep finally steals you away. And I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. Like, could we do that? And at this time in my life, I was trying to hear audibly God like I was, because I had a few friends who I knew they could hear God, and I really desired what they were experiencing. And I was going, Lord, I just want to speak with you all day long. Could I do that? And then I started saying, this guy was a monk. Like, what do you do as a monk? You get up, you're walled in, you're kept from the world, you kind of go work in the vineyard or in the field, and nobody, sometimes some of them are doing like a vow of silence, so all you got to talk to is God. Yeah, it may be easy if I was a monk, but could I do that? Could I live there? Could I tarry there? And I was thinking, you know what, God seemed to challenge me in those days of reading that book that, yeah, all through Scripture, he reminds us that he wants to spend the day with us. Could we live in the presence of the Almighty? I want to read with you Psalm 139. Again, a verse that most of you would know. This is David writing, and he says this. He says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. A beautiful passage, but this week it's kind of all been on my mind. Why? Because I've been answering that question, again, renewing that answer for myself. Can we tarry in the presence of God? Well, you know, the Lord knows us. I mean, that would preach for a whole year. The Lord knows you. Some of you, that should terrify you. What do you mean? He knows what I'm going to say before I even say it. Oh, that can't be good, Lord. I need to apologize for that, right? Because you know what you think sometimes, and sometimes we fall short. You know what you dwell on sometimes, and you know that you fall short. But despite all of those shortcomings, the Lord knows you, and that's not by chance. He knows you because he is ever present with you. He knows you because he never leaves you alone. Even when you think you're alone and you're getting away with stuff, guess who's there? The Lord is there. Like, we've had some interesting funerals over the last couple of weeks, some different overdoses, some suicides, and some different things. And people have come to me in private, and they've kind of said, Andrew, you know what? I'm worried. You know, they kind of died alone. And I'm going, hold on. Nobody dies alone. How do I know that? Because I know Psalm 139. Nobody dies alone. When we sit, he is with us. When we rise, he is with us. He knows our thoughts. He hems us in. His hand is always upon us. And while that may be an uncomfortable thought for some of you, it is a great blessing, whether you understand it or not. God longs to be a part of every moment of you. Isn't that crazy? Like, all you do, God longs to be a part of all you do. And even when you sleep, the Bible is very, very clear. He watches over you until you awake that next morning. And yet, you know what? Too often, we forget that he is that invested in us. When do we remember? Well, we remember, like how many practice the discipline of devotion and prayer? Like, you have that time. Well, you do, and that's wonderful. You should. right? Some of you may journal. Some of you have different ways of doing that. Some of you may sing. Some of you may do it at the family altar at the table, you know, when you get together after a meal or something like that. But it's good to have this discipline of daily coming together with the Lord God Almighty. And in those moments, guess what? We're reminded of his blessings because we speak of them, we share them, we shout them. And then for most devoted Christians, you know what? You try to get to a service. You try to get to a church, whether it be Sunday or whether it be Tuesday night for you. You try to get together and you say, you know what? I'm devoting this time to God. Why? Because he's worth it. Are you kidding me? He is so worthy of my time. He is so worthy of my attention. He is so worthy of my praise. And if you're like me, you come to those services and you always leave with way more than you bring. Like God blesses, God reminds, God instills in you a peace and a passion. You're going, oh, I love these moments. I love these moments. Well, you know what? Why are we not more aware of God more often? Because in contrast to that, he is always aware of you. He's aware of you when you come and when you go and when you sit and when you lie down. He's aware of you when you're on your way to work and when you're at work. He's aware of you when you play and you perform your hobbies or when you just need to sit and stop and have that cup of tea. He is aware of you, and that's not by chance. He is aware of you because you are his desire. And God longs to be a part of every tear that falls from your eye and every laugh that makes milk come out of your nose. He wants to be a part of it. That verse says that God hovers over you, that you are always in his shadow. Where can you go from his presence? You can't. If you make your bed in the heavens, he's there. If you make your bed in hell, he's there. He is with you because he loves you, because he desires you. Therefore, his presence is available to you. So here was my question. If God is always aware of us, why then are we not always aware of him? Like what Brother Lawrence challenged me to do 20 years ago through the leading of the Holy Spirit is still a discipline that I seek today, because if God's presence is always available to me, I should be aware of it and live in his mighty presence. Amen? You know, I was thinking of this week. We all have those friends that suck. Let's be honest. Right? You know what I'm talking about. They're the friends that always need, and they never, ever give. Like, you know those people, right? Some of them, you're related to them. Woo! You have a long holiday season because they're always there. They're always taking and they're never giving, right? This is not a time to elbow the wife, right? But you have those people that are in your life, right? And this is the funny thing. Those people who are bad friends, they're always in crisis, and their crisis always comes with a bad mood, and you're the ear that they always want to bend, right? You're the shoulder they always want to cry on. You're the one they always want to lean on, and the focus is always themselves. That's why it's hard to love them. And as Christians, what do? If you're a good Christian, you listen, right? If you're a good... Now, there's also something to be said. If you're a good Christian, you help them to get beyond the crisis mode all the time, that you teach them that there is one who is in control, therefore they shouldn't be out of control all the time. And so hopefully you spur them along. But we've all had those friends that are hard to love, right? Well, guess what? When it comes to your relationship of you and God, you're that friend. When it comes to my relationship with God, I'm that friend. That, you know what, I gain everything from his presence, that he lifts me, he guides me, he empowers me, he fills me with joy and patience and mercy and all the things that I find hard to grasp on myself. The Lord gives continually to our relationship. He hovers over me. He never leaves me. He knows how badly I need him, and therefore he sticks closer than a brother. But what do I bring to him? I bring him my troubles. I bring him my trials. I bring him my complaints. I bring him my worries. I bring him my concerns. Like when I think of the times that we come to God and we drop things upon him, you got to understand that you really are that friend in the relationship with God in you. And you know what? God understands that. And he loves you still? Are you kidding me? Like, how crazy and extravagant is God's love for you that even though you bring very little to his relationship, he still loves you with all that he has? 2 Timothy 2:13, when you're faithless, he remains faithful. That's your story. That's my story with God, that so many times we are faithless, and yet he remains faithful. Even though we're gross, he is incredibly wonderful. How in the world could we not be mindful of him? And yet so often we're not aware. Paul says it this way in Acts chapter 17. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him you live. In him you move. In him you have purpose. You have being. Why in the world are we not more mindful of him? James 15 reminds us this. He says, you know what? If you remain in the vine, Jesus says, who's the vine? He's the vine. You're the branches. You remain in him and he will abide in you. Apart from him, what does it say? You can do nothing. So apart from him, we're nothing. How desperate should we be for God? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So not only are we nothing without him, we would have nothing without him, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Are you aware of that this morning? That you're nothing without him and you would have nothing without him. Yes, we should be desperate for him. Yet he is the one who thinks of you when you are forgetting him. He is the one who holds you when you push him away. He is the one who stays up all night watching over you when you've fallen asleep and you haven't given him a second thought that day. He is the one who takes the beating while, like Peter, we deny him. You know what? We need a steady vigilance of God's holy presence in our life. We do. Because if you're like me, there's way too many times we take him for granted. And you should not be satisfied with that. Why? Because he is the most incredible friend that all the universe could ever offer you. And he's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. How do I know that? Because he laid down his very life, and we remember that in communion today. He loved you so much, he died for you. He loved you so much, he took upon himself your grave. He loved you so much, he conquered all of that so that you could be free. That's how much he loves you. He's crazy. Because he's not getting a lot out of it. Like, I know people will get uncomfortable, but clinically, if somebody was to evaluate God in the whole psychological world, they would say, this guy is nuts. And that's true. His love for you is crazy. His love for you is extravagant. His love for you is never ending. His love for you is always. His love for you is not dependent upon your effort. It's not dependent upon your approval. It's not dependent upon your performance. His love for you is, that's it. Today, he loves you. Even the hard friend that you are to love, he loves you. Are you aware of that, church? How can we not be more mindful of him? How can we not be more grateful for him? How can we not be more devoted, more awe-filled, more thankful for him? Psalm 139 says, where can we go to flee his presence? You can't. You can't flee his presence. What's more astounding is he doesn't flee your presence. Because again, you're that friend that's hard to love. I'm that friend that's hard to love, and he's crazy about me still. You know, I was trying to think, okay, Lord, what does that look like? Like, what does that mean? And I came up with this. We should gather our whole lives and surrender it to his embrace. God is always with you, never leaves you, never forsakes you. He's always waiting to hold you. He's always hovering over you. He's hemmed you in. That line, he's hemmed you in, makes me feel like, you know what? I can't get out of his embrace. He's just too strong. You know when that big friend comes over to you and gives you a bear hug and there's nothing you could do, but you just take it? Oh, okay, I got to wait till this is over, because I did that to Tyler one day because he made me mad. Tyler Brimner, I hugged him till he almost passed out just to remind him who was in charge. Right? There's nothing he could do. I was wiggling him around, and he was flopping, and he started turning purple, and I thought it was funny, and I held him a little too long. I dropped him, and he went, boom. And I went, I love you, buddy. And he goes, thanks. Thanks, right? But he always talks about that hug. Do you know that God hugs you so beautifully that you can't get out of his embrace? Well, you know what? We should gather our whole lives and surrender it to his embrace. Because he is loving you whether you understand it or not. He is there. But if we would gather our lives and surrender it to his embrace, our whole world would change. And I was trying to think of that. This past week, I posted a few sketches. I don't take enough time to sketch. I'm trying to take more time to sketch. But this week, I was sitting down. There was a night when Allison and I were home. And I'm not always home because we're always doing stuff where I get called out. And I was home and I said, you know what? The dogs were sitting on us. We were in our chairs. There was a TV show on that I had taped that we hadn't watched yet. I wasn't watching the show. I was just kind of, and I picked up my sketchbook and everything was quiet and I started to draw. And in that moment, I felt the blessing of God just pouring over me. Like, it was the calmest, most surreal, free moment that I had had that week. And I was going, God, I don't want this moment to end. It was one of those. And I was going, oh, it feels so good. And I was just sketching away. And God was so tangible. His blessing and presence was so tangible with me. I was going, oh, this is awesome. Oh, I love this moment. And the whole night, that's what I did. And I was so much better for it. Well, you know what? Then I started asking myself, well, had God not been with me the night before? Yes, he was. He had been with me. He had been available. He had been hemming me in. He had been holding me. Why was I not aware of him? Like, what changed between last night and this night that I was drawing? You know what changed? I was aware of him. I had changed. I allowed him to embrace me in that moment. And in that moment, there was healing. And in that moment, there was filling. And in that moment, there was reward. And in that moment, I was captivated, overpowered, and very happy to be in his embrace. And it was awesome. Can we live there? Yeah. If we would gather our whole lives and surrender them to his embrace, he longs to hold us. He never leaves us. He's willing to do his part. Are you willing to do yours? You know, like, let's make it practical. What can you do with God? The answer is anything. You love to read? Are you inviting him to those adventures that you take your brain on when you're reading quiet? Do you invite him to the tasks that lay before you? Say, well, Andrew, you know what? I'm a carpenter. Do you invite him to build the home with you? Because you know what? He wants to be in every swing of the nail. He wants to be there. He wants to bless you and allow his presence to change your day. He wants to cry with you. He wants to laugh with you. He wants to prepare meals with you. He wants to play a round of golf with you. And trust me, that will change the way you play golf. If you've never played golf, most aggravating game. You know what? When I used to play it to try to learn it, there was times when I'd be almost cussing. I'd be looking around going, I hope nobody heard that one, right? But then when I started playing golf with the Lord, you know what happened? First off, my tongue really came under control, and I was going, look at the surroundings. Look at the beauty. And I would make an awful shot, and I'm going on an adventure. I'm going to go try to find my ball in the dark depths of the woods. And you know what? This is amazing, right? And then when I was playing with other guys, I was trying to let my light shine, and I was trying to be positive. And I was going, Lord, you make my golf game fun. Why would I ever golf without you? And you know, he wants to go to work with you, and he wants to drive to work with you. He wants to have every moment of your day, and he wants to make it more enjoyable. He wants you to get excited about his presence. And you know what? It's in his presence that you're made whole. It's in his presence that you are made calm. It's in his presence that you are filled. It's in his presence that you are led. And so the next night, I was called out. And I was called out to do plumbing. We have someone in the church who they're pretty young and they just bought a house and they don't know anything. And I was going, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for buying a house. Like, this is a big step. And they're like, yeah, you know what, Andrew? What happens is I flush the toilet and my feet get wet. And I'm kind of going, are you on the toilet properly? And they're like, yeah, everything. I've done this before. Like, and I've used the toilet before and my feet don't get wet. But now at my new place, I flush the toilet, my feet get wet. And I know it's nothing I'm doing. And I'm going, okay, look, you know what, I'll be right there. So what did I do? I said, you know what? All I wanted to do was sit at home and sketch because I was loving the presence of the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know what? Why don't we go fix a toilet together? Yeah. Lord, I'm going to be aware of your presence. And so I go to this house, and it's late at night, and they're sitting there looking all depressed and looking bad. And I was going, just relax, buddy. Like, it's already broken. We can't break it anymore. Let's try to fix it. We got to hurry, though, because Canadian Tire is closing soon, right? And so I'm sitting there, and he's going, I've never done anything like this before. I said, first, let's make sure that you're not, you know, maybe you are missing the bowl. I don't know. Let's flush it and watch. We flush it. Water's pouring out of the bottom. Water's pouring out of the tank. And I'm going, no, he's right. Something's wrong. So I said, turn off the water. He goes, how do I do that? And I'm going, Jesus, you're here, and I will be patient. I said, that knob right there, what did you think that knob did? And he goes, I didn't even know that was a knob. And I'm going, okay, turn that. And he goes, turn it which way? And I'm going, righty-tighty. And he's going, okay, righty-tighty. Okay, lefty-loosey. Righty-tighty, you want to tighten it, close the water? He's going, okay. I said, never forget that. Please don't forget that. You're too old to have me tell you that. And he goes, okay, so righty-tighty, closes the water. I said, now what do I do? I said, well, flush the water. He goes, well, we turned off the water. I said, I know, but we're not taking the toilet off while it's still filled with water. Flush it now, it'll go down. He goes, oh, that sounds like, makes sense. I flush it. I'm going, okay, go get me a cup. He goes, why? I said, well, I need a cup to get the water out. He says, I got water in the fridge. I'm going, no, we're going to bail out what's left. Come on, think with me here. And he's going, okay. So I bail out the water with him, right? And he's going, this is making a lot of sense now. And I'm saying, yeah. And I said, what we're going to do is we're gonna have to take the bowl off and the filling tank off because it's leaking there. So I said, take those off. So he's taking them off. And I said, pass me that. And I go, see those gaskets? They're gone. Man, this is terrible. So I said, we need a kit. We need a gasket for the bottom of the tank. We need gaskets that will go in inside the tank. We're going to seal all that water from spraying out. He goes, okay. And I said, now we got to deal with the bottom, so take that off. I said, you got a rag? What do we need a rag for? Floor's already wet. I said, well, let's wait to clean it when we're done. I said, no, trust me, you're going to need a rag. So he goes and he gets a rag. He takes off the bottom tools, and he pulls off the toilet, and of course, the stink pipe is now exposed, and he realizes why we needed the rag. Whoa, what's that smell? I said, I don't know. I'm breathing through my mouth. I've done this before. Give me that rag. I put it in the hole, right? And he's going, whoo, that was pretty heavy. I said, that's all you, baby. That's not me, right? And so I said, well, you see this, and you know what? We're having this crazy time of fellowship. I'm saying, see that wax that looks like it's a pile of goo? He says, yeah. I said, we need to take all that wax off. And he says, okay. So he starts peeling. I said, let's go get a putty knife. We peel all that wax off. And then he sees this rim. And I said, see that little rim inside that goes down into your drain pipe? And he goes, yeah. I said, yeah, that's part of the wax. See, you got to break that off too. So put your knife under there and pull that up. He pulls it up. He puts it all away. And then he puts the rag back down. Woo, that's heavy. I'm going, I know. And we're laughing. And I'm going, you know what? You're learning something tonight. Let's go over to Canadian Tire quick. We got to hurry. It's going to close. So we run in there, and I'm showing him what he needs to buy, and he says, well, this one's more expensive. I said, expensive doesn't always mean better. I said, you know what? We're trying to see if this will work. I said, maybe this seal is good enough. I would recommend that seal. I would recommend these. He's going, okay, we buy everything. We come back. All of a sudden, he starts putting them together, right? I say, you got one shot at putting this toilet on. He's going, should you do it? I said, then you wouldn't know how. I said, I'm praying that Jesus, his presence here, would give you that one good shot. I said, are you praying? He says, I am now. Puts the toilet on. I said, now you got to tighten it down evenly. Tightens it down evenly. He says, man, he says, I said, do you feel it getting tighter? He's going, I feel it getting tighter. I said, what's happening is the wax is separating and you're making that seal. I said, now we got to fix your tank. We put all that together. We put it all together. And I said, okay, now how are we going to test? He said, we're going to flush it. I said, how can we flush it when there's no water? He says, I got to turn that on. Lefty Lucy. I'm going, I'm so proud of you, man. Toilet fills up. Turn on the lights. Get all the flashlights out. You stand on that side. I'll stand on this side. Let's flush the toilet. We flush the toilet. It is dry. And he says, praise the Lord. I said, yeah, we have been. What can you do in the presence of God? You can do anything. But you know what? That his presence, as long as you are aware of him, things will be way better than when you just try to do them alone. It's perspective, isn't it? He's aware of you. Are you aware of him? Paul crosses that bridge in Colossians 3:23. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Everything you do, everything you do, do it unto the Lord. So that if you're changing a toilet, you know what? His presence can make you whole. If you're sketching, his presence can fill you up. If you're at work, his presence can make you a way better human being than you would be without his presence. Why in the world aren't you living in his presence? Do you tarry there? See, it's not just about Sunday and Tuesday. It's not just about your devotional time. He longs to spend your day with you. He longs to hold your life. Why would you settle for a day or a planned service when your whole life could be an expression of worship? That's what we've been talking about, folks. 2 months, that's what we've been talking about. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I've never read anything by her, and I found this just this week, and I was kind of going, this is really neat. She said it this way. She said, earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. What's she talking about? You guys know the story of Moses, right? What does Moses do? Moses all of a sudden meets with God. How does he know it's God? Because there's a bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. And he says, I don't know about you, but I ain't ever seen a bush on fire that isn't burning or isn't being consumed. And he starts to freak out and he goes, wow, I need to take off my sandals because I'm on holy ground. I'm in the presence of God. Then the bush starts talking to him and he knows that he's either had some really bad mushrooms or God is meeting with him. She says this, she says, earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes and the rest sit around it and pluck blackberries. Every sunrise is a bush ablaze. Every sunset is a bush ablaze. Every hockey game that you watch your kids play should be a bush ablaze. Every moment that you drive to work could be a bush ablaze. Every time you're at work, every time you pick up your hobby, every time you are awake, it could be a bush ablaze. For those who would take the time to see it, you would truly live without your sandals. How do I know this? Because I know Psalm 139. Where can I flee from his presence? You can't. Why not be aware of it and let his presence change everything? Holiness. Let them go to the answer machine. Or we could put them on speakerphone. That could be fun. No, Curlin probably recognizes the number. He's like, no, you don't want that. It's one of those friends that's hard to love. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay, let's catch this. When is God with you? Always. Why aren't we aware of it? Everybody close your eyes. Whew. Let's get warm. I want to ask you this morning, do you see him? Is every bush ablaze? Do you see him? Because he awaits you. He awaits you when? Every moment, every activity. He awaits you. He awaits you. He awaits you. Why? Because he wants to walk with you and talk with you in the joy that you could share if you would tarry there. Woo, baby. Do you tarry there? Because life is way better when we are aware of God. His presence changes everything. His presence changes everything. His presence changes everything. Let's pray. God, I am so grateful that you are mindful of us. It astounds me. And I am so grateful that you never leave us and you never forsake us, because let's be honest, I don't bring a lot to our relationship. You are the one with all the blessings. You are the one with all the wisdom. You are the one with all the provisions. You are the one with a love that's steadfast. You're the one with grace and mercy. You're the one that I need. We celebrated that today in communion. I need you. I'm sure you'd be fine without me, yet you love me still. Are you kidding me? Your presence changes everything. And Father God, I pray that we would be aware of you. When? Always. We'd be aware of you, that we would give you the whole of our life. We would gather it together. And we'd surrender it to you. Every hobby, every job, every relationship, every dream, every defeat, all of it, would we be aware of you? Ah, would your presence make us whole? So, Lord, shake us. Shake the church and awake her to who you are. Shake the church and awake her to your presence. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.